Welcome into episode 167 of the Godly Young Men podcast.
No jokes, please. No jokes. What's 167? Sorry. Continue.
You
continue.
Know that they will on the Discord. Yeah, that's a big thing for those that are not involved in the Discord. All those Gen Z whippersnappers, I tell you what. So, yes, 167. And today we have a very interesting episode that Will has, you know, we kind of shoot these things back and forth. And he sent me something the other day and said, I think we can get an episode out of this. And it's this idea of old versus new masculinity. And I'm looking it over like, yep, it checks out. Yeah, that's pretty good too. Yep, that's a good thought. And so it just kind of built, the outline built itself. He added some really good stuff. We've added a couple things to the outline itself from what he was initially sending me just as a post. And I'm excited for this one because I think what you'll notice is as we go along, like things are shifting masculinity-wise quite a bit. And not just shifting in terms of like, oh, a little bit of a bend. We're talking like, in some of these cases, a complete overhaul, a 180 from the things that we and our dads may have considered masculine from the Gen X, Boomer standpoint. It feels like it's turning on its head. And I'm sure they're looking at it as a scary thing of like, oh man, all the young kids are just kind of going away from everything we've known. Like, I think this kind of needed to happen in a lot of ways.
So when we started this podcast, January of 2023, which is just crazy.
Yeah,
man. We made the point that the world does not get masculinity correct. And that still applies, obviously.
Right.
But when we started it, it was kind of at the height of the, maybe not the height, but still coming off the height of the effeminate men. Let's feminize men. Let's tell men to, you know, kind of shout them down. You know, let women, you know, really take the lead and take over. And we made the point kind of early on in this podcast that masculinity, the world's presentation of masculinity is very different than the Bible and God's view of masculinity. And that still remains kind of the theme of this entire podcast, right? But for this specific episode, what we want to talk about is kind of like what used to be considered very, very masculine. Again, to Joe's point, people like my dad, the Gen Xers, then, you know, his parents, the Boomers, and people like that. What did they consider masculine? How does that compare not just to now, which we want to look at, but like the new version of masculinity, but also God's word and biblical masculinity? And Joe, we would both argue that kind of the way things are shifting now, to Joe's point, in the year 2026, I don't know if it's the regime change, if it's just more Gen Z voices gaining prominence. The new version of masculinity does seem to match up a whole lot closer with God's view of masculinity. Maybe not, certainly not in every way, right. But there's some positive trends in this kind of what new masculinity is. And so we want to kind of pair that with, again, a healthy view, God's view of masculinity, and compare it once again to what was it 50, 60 years ago, and why is it so different?
What I find interesting, and maybe I need to ask, we should ask our parents this, was TV and the depictions of masculinity, the depictions of fatherhood, of marriage, right, the man's role in marriage, if they would say that TV was almost normative of like that kind of represented America. And I know the Archie Bunkers and such was very much playing up the goofiness,
the dope,
or whatever, the dope type of thing. So I get it. But on the other hand, like, it does seem...
What show is Archie Bunker on? I don't even know.
All in the Family.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's kind of a trope. But like, okay, Cliff Huxtable. So maybe not the Bill Cosby playing
him. Right,
right.
But,
you know, on the other hand, like, would they say that is indicative of most men, most masculine men, or most fathers, I suppose, at the time? Or maybe even like an Uncle Phil from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air for the Gen Xers that kind of grew up toward the night. That's more millennials, but still, maybe Gen Xers got into that. But going back to that time in the 70s of... I'm trying to think of the 70s TV shows. Would they consider those people normative to some degree? Because I look at like the portrayals of masculinity in the... It hasn't changed. It's actually gotten a lot worse in movies and in TV shows.
Sure.
People are rejecting that. I think if you ask the average guy, is that what a father looks like? Is that what a husband looks like? Maybe from a, you know, regular point of view, they go, no, that doesn't actually represent any of this. That's very much a woke point of view. Whereas it seems back in the day with, again, Gen Xers and Boomers, maybe I need to ask them this, that was more in line with it. So when we look at some of these things, you're going to have seen a lot of these tropes.
Yeah.
And I don't think they were just tropes. I think they were really indicative of the time period itself.
That's
and what people
point.
Believed. And so I guess we'll just jump in to tell you what we're giving an intro. And you may be like, okay, what exactly are you talking about? We'll jump into number one here. And this will kind of set the stage for what we mean by old versus new.
We'll kind of set up what we're going to do with each one of these.
Correct.
Two,
correct. We're going to look at the old and we're going to talk about the new of kind of where this is coming from. The first is drinking a lot. That was a masculine thing. Like, men can crush 9 beers, you know, like...
You had a high tolerance for alcohol.
Correct. Yeah. A high tolerance for alcohol was a masculine thing. It went to show a man can hold his liquor. You'd hear phrases like that. That has changed. That seems to have shifted. Dry January is a big deal nowadays, where a lot of people are taking... You look at even Hollywood stars. Tom Holland, you know, who plays Peter Parker, plays Spider-Man. Like, he has... I think he's just alcohol-free. And there's actually a lot of people in Hollywood that are now going alcohol-free. All the seltzers that are coming out that are non-alcoholic. Things are shifting.
So old masculinity was, you drank a lot, you went out Friday night with the boys or whatever. Yep. New masculinity does seem to be, you avoid vices.
And vices in general, not just alcohol. You avoid vices.
Right, you avoid smoking. You avoid pornography. You avoid, but I think alcohol is probably the best kind of comparison. Because, I mean, you think about it and you say, well, you guys weren't around. To Joe's point, we know the tropes. We know kind of the people that were idolized back then in the 80s, 90s, whatever it is. And drinking a lot was kind of like, that's what made you masculine in the old days. Now, it very much is, you avoid those vices. You are, and discipline will come into a lot of this stuff. But, you're disciplined. You don't need that kind of stuff, essentially. You don't need smoking. You don't need alcohol. You don't need to go out Friday night and get wasted or Saturday night or whatever. That might have been the old way. That's certainly not the new way. And obviously, that very much more aligns with God's version, God's view of masculinity, than somebody who just goes out and gets hammered on Friday night.
I remember my dad telling me, he was an alcoholic, and he went to AA, or he went to rehab and came out of AA. And he said one of the hardest things for him actually was saying no around all of his buddies, because it was such a common thing.
It was a social thing. Yeah.
Correct. You were such a weirdo and kind of a social outcast in not drinking. You basically had to have all new friends, because the idea of refusing alcohol was like basically be considered gay almost. You know, that type of thing, that it was kind of a stigma of, you don't refuse the beer if people pass it to you. Things are massively changing. So the first one we have is drinking a lot, whereas the new is avoiding a lot of those vices. I think this can go too far in the fact that stoicism is like a real big deal. That's on the rise. Sure. It's in the manosphere, like the stoicism of, we should hardly
never
enjoy anything
yourself at all.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, there is a time, alcohol is not one of them. So the vices, we're not talking about that. Don't drink alcohol. But still, this idea of like, avoid anything like that, all vices, meaning we don't even have any fun. Like, okay, there are things you can do that are fun that aren't vices.
Right.
And so we got to make sure we don't take it too far. Masculinity is not saying no to fun. A lot of guys can have fun, and that's fantastic as well. But get us to number two.
So the second one, again, old masculinity was, you slept around a lot. You have conquered a lot of women, a lot of notches on your belt, body count high, whatever phrase you want to use. You got around, essentially. New masculinity, not as much. I mean, there's obviously still guys like Andrew Tate who will push that kind of thing.
Sure.
It seems the tide seems to be turning, and it seems to be changing to, find a good girl. Obviously, we would argue find a godly and a righteous girl and treat women well. That does seem to be how the tide is kind of turning in that. Again, previously, decades ago, it was, the real masculine guys were the ones that, again, had a lot of notches on their belt, conquered a lot of women, whatever it was. Nowadays, it does seem to be you're not a simp, but you do treat women well. And you are trying to find a really good girl that you can settle down with. Once again, very much aligns with the biblical view of masculinity.
Well, there's a lot of guys that are actually turning away from sex, turning away from early relationships. Once again, you can take this too far. Family's a very good thing, but the nice thing is this is shifting. I'm wondering. Me Too is a disaster in a lot of ways. Let's be honest. It was a disaster in a lot of ways. On the other hand...
That was, mid-2010s, really?
2013, yeah, 14, 15. It was like 2015, I want to say. It was 2015 Weinstein, with Harvey Weinstein.
I think that's
and then
right.
2019, I think there was a resurgence with... Was it Kevin Spacey and a couple of 2019?
Well, I know the Olympic team, the girls' gymnastics team or whatever. Like, all that was kind of going on at the same time. Yeah.
So, a lot of horrible stuff. We're not... In no way are we ever defending somebody like a Harvey Weinstein. On the other hand, did it become a witch hunt in a lot of ways? Yes. I do think that scared guys to some degree that they were going to get caught in a Me Too moment, even if they were kind of hitting on a girl, and maybe it was a tad bit inappropriate. Not justifying that, but just saying, there's a difference between raping somebody and having an inappropriate comment, but they were all lumped in together.
Sure.
I do wonder if this plays a role in the treatment of women, though, of kind of like, okay, we need to step back. In the masculine, almost have your way or dominate type of thing, I don't see that being the case. If anything, we're seeing the opposite end of not wanting to be assertive enough. And I think that we've spoken of that problem as well. That's not good either. We want to be assertive. We want to be confident. We want to treat them well, but also understand that it's good to be a guy. You know, we don't need to be scared of women. We need to treat them well. But the sleeping around, man, I mean, you look at all the TV shows back then. I'm like, that's just what you did, and that's what the men, the manly man, got all of the women, and the James Bonds of the world, who is with a new woman every single
Indiana Jones, even. Yeah,
correct. Yeah, you just kind of sleep around, and so that was masculinity. And now, again, I'm not saying Me Too changed it. Something changed it where we started to shift more toward, okay, we need to see if we can actually get along with this girl. We need to see if she has values herself. We talked about that a couple episodes ago, making sure she doesn't have a high body count herself.
I was going to say, sexual purity has had a bit of a rejuvenation. We had an episode two episodes ago, obviously, about should you marry a promiscuous woman based off of a viral story that's a few weeks old now. But yeah, sexual purity specifically for girls, and obviously it needs to be that way for both, guys and girls. But there again, it's having a bit of a regeneration in the sense of like, oh, I would much rather find somebody who's kept themselves pure as opposed to somebody who, again, I can find at a bar and hook up with. And, you know, it's changing, and that's great. Again, once again, finding a good girl, godly girl, treating women well, kind of the new form of masculinity, very much more in line with God's word than the previous. Joe, get us into the third one.
Yeah, number three is kind of making a ton of money, excuse me, like Andrew Tate, you know. Guy's a sleazeball in a lot of ways, but this making a ton of money and just getting more and more and more versus
kind of flaunting your wealth as well.
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh, yeah. The Bugatti, he talks about that all the time, or the Rolex or whatever. And it was just, you saw this in the 80s where it was a ton of money and money galore because of stock market and everything else. And so that became a very big deal. Whereas right now, it seems masculinity is more connected with financial stability and entrepreneurship. So,
which is is fascinating to me.
It is fascinating that it's not just more and more and more. Jordan Belfort, right? The guy, Wolf of Wall Street. Do not watch it. I've never watched the movie. Don't watch the movie. I'm familiar with the story, though, in terms of guy went to prison because all he cared about was the money. And the money was flowing like crazy, as along with drugs and everything else. But that was kind of the 80s, and that was a lot of the old, is just make a ton of money, make a ton of money. And now it's more budgets. It's understanding. We got all the apps, the Every Dollar app and things like that. It's more of understanding how do you manage wealth. That's a huge shift
and just build wealth.
Correct. Yeah. How do you build wealth? And that's the entrepreneurship of really having something to pass along. I think we have to delineate. The other thing is, and this is going to be on a lot of these things, I'm curious to get your thoughts, but like, I think the old wealth, we're talking like 1800s into the early 1900s and such, there were those that built businesses that gave it to their family trying to build wealth. It really does seem the boomer and the Gen X, when we're talking about old masculinity, that's kind of who we're referring to. And it seems like money became the idol, money became everything, and it was less about that financial stability and specifically preparing your family financially well for the future.
Yeah.
You have boomers that still don't want to give their kids anything. I'm not giving my kid a dime when I die. Billionaires, like is it Bill Gates? It's like, my kids get nothing when I die. And there's multiple of those, and they don't think about, well, I was self-made, as though that's an actual thing. There's just a difference in how we view money and the idea of setting your family up and such.
I mean, everybody knows I'm a big finance nerd, I guess you could call it, geek. I kind of like talking about this stuff. But yeah, I just think it's interesting that entrepreneurship is the new masculine thing. Like, can you create a business? Can you find a way to add value to society? Can you generate – it's less about like the kind of showy wealth and the flaunt your wealth and the get a big CEO position and just, man, make a ton of – it's more so just, are you financially stable? Can you take care of your family? And can you maybe be a little bit financially free because you started a business or whatever it is? And that's what young men – and that's not across the board. That is painting with a bit of a broad brush. There's still a lot of young Gen Z guys who want to be a YouTube star and are really chasing like fame and wealth, and as far as that goes – that doesn't seem to be what the majority of, again, from a masculinity standpoint, that people are saying, hey, this is masculine. Yeah, creating a business, being an entrepreneur, adding value, making money in that way, and just being, to Joe's point, being stable from a financial perspective, not going into massive amount of debt, making sure you have regular cash flow and all those things. It's interesting. It's just interesting to see how it shifted.
This is going to come up again. This is so fascinating. This is going to come up again. I really think the key to this is a hollowed out understanding of masculinity versus a more wholesome understanding of masculinity. I'm not saying we have it all together. We got our own problems for sure in our generations, especially millennials. Gen Z are thinking, figuring some things out, some things they got a lot of work to do type of thing. But when you think about something like this, because I'm just thinking about this from the money standpoint, and again, this is going to come up with another one later. The appearance was everything, to your Andrew Tate point, to the, you know, you see these guys that were in massive debt. But they appeared really wealthy to their friends. And so did they do it through credit cards? Sure. Did they do it through borrowing from people? Sure.
And you still see that,
And you still see that to some degree. But you know what I hear a lot more of from men in my circle is, I just want to get out of debt. You've been big on this one. Like, I just want to get out, pay off all the debts, even pay off the house, pay off everything early, and be debt-free. Like, I don't know if that's a shift from what's his name, Dave Ramsey. I don't know if that's what's kind of shifted things, but it really seems like it's way less about, I don't know, the cool stuff and you know, making sure you got the nice car. It's way more, it's less about reputation and looking a certain way, and it's more about being a certain way. Yeah. Like, nobody knows that you're debt-free because nobody asks me if I still owe money on my house. You know what I mean? Whereas, do they see the nice car? Do they see the watches? Do they see the suits? Mm-hmm. Do they see everything else? Sure. And so there just seems to be like a hollow understanding of it.
I think at the heart of this too is, why do you chase wealth? To Joe's point, are you chasing it so everybody can go, man, he's got an awesome car. Man, check out his house. I think the new form of masculinity is, I chase financial freedom. Independence. Yeah. I've said the reason that I want to make a lot of money is I do want to spend more time with my kids as they get older. I don't want to be tied down to a 40-hour-a-week, 9-to-5, just for the rest of my life. And, you know, where I work is great, and I have a lot of perks and benefits that I hope I'm there for a long time. It's amazing. But I do want to spend more time with my son and daughter, of course, as well, as they get older. And, yeah, be able to disciple them more. And again, just have the freedom to be able to experience life with them. That's a whole lot different motivation than, man, I want everybody to see my, my Lamborghini or whatever it is. And so,
yeah. And maybe that's unfair to older folks. They may disagree with that. It just seems like, and again, I'm thinking specifically 80s. I don't think a whole lot of people had money back in the 60s, 70s. But they were certainly trying to make it, and then it's just build. And yeah, to your point, financial freedom. Get us to number four.
So number four is as far as the old version of masculinity, was kind of like, you had the beer belly. You had dad bod. Like, you just ate
dad strength.
Ate unhealthy, kind of. Like, you just ate junk. You didn't really pay attention to your health or anything like that. Sure, you had strength. You were kind of, you know, dad strength or whatever it was. But you didn't really pay attention to that. That, more than anything, has shifted due to RFK, due to just so many studies coming out saying, like, what we ate in the 80s, 90s, and early 2000s, and, you know, still people still eat today, is horrible for you. That it has shifted to the new masculinity is, you eat very clean. You are health conscious. You are very mindful of what you put into your body. You're not obsessive. You're not keto, none of that stuff. But you're very health conscious. You are mindful of how often am I exercising. I mean, Joe and I were talking, like, how many 30, 40, 50-year-old dads when we were growing up worked out and went to the gym? I don't remember a lot.
Personally. I don't remember a ton.
And, you know, maybe that's just my anecdotal evidence here, but, like, there weren't a lot. Now, man, that has shifted a ton to where a lot of dads are hitting the gym, regular workout routine. And, again, it's not about being a crunchy, you know, I'm on keto, I count calories every day. No, it's more so new masculinity is, I'm very conscious of health, my conscious health. I'm very conscious of, you know, the fact, do I need to lose weight? Do I have a receding hair? How much sleep am I getting? That stuff was, you know, common back in the for old masculinity. Now, it's a whole lot more masculine, pretty clearly, to pay attention to that and to go the healthy route as opposed to just eating junk.
Yeah, yeah. And some of this just is explained by science being so much better than it was. True. By people having more wealth to spend on, you know, you see these ads for like 8 Sleep, I'm sure you've seen, of the cooling bed, which it looks really cool. It's like $2,000. I don't have $2,000 to go spend on a bed, a cooling bed. People do. You know, AG1s. I do drink AG1s. Those are really, really healthy. They didn't have things like that. So part of it's like,
sure,
we have a lot more. We have the science behind seed oils and dyes and, food, you know, dyes, things like, yeah, that. Like, we have more science than ever before, and I get that. But it seems like it used to be fads. Like, Atkins diet was huge when I was a young kid, or South Beach diet was really big. Mediterranean diet. Then you had Jenny Craig and you had things like that. And so it just became was it Nutrisystem or Nutrigrain, whatever it is, that had all the commercials. And so people would get into fads for health. And so there'd be a huge push and people would get skinny at once, like Atkins diet, everybody got skinny, but then they put it all back because it's kind of like a keto type thing.
Sustainable.
It's not sustainable. And so a lot of binging, purging type things. Whereas now, and maybe it's just my ex timeline, I don't know. I get on there and it's like so many good health things. Try this, don't do this, get this much sleep, here's how to raise testosterone, here's how many grams of protein you need every day, yeah, here's your macro count, you know, if you are this and this, then you should be eating this many calories, and this is the macros, here's how to get healthy food, healthy, you know, healthy protein. Like, all of it, my timeline's inundated, yeah, with things like this. And so it just feels like, and maybe that's just mine, I don't know, but it feels like nowadays, like you said, masculinity is eating clean, it's health conscious, it's paying attention to your health and realizing, man, I want to be able to run with my kids at 50, 60 years old.
And I want to look good. Like, and I don't want to look like Peter Griffin or whatever it is.
Right,
like,
exactly.
I don't want to have a receding hair. Yeah. Yeah, all those things. Yeah.
Exactly. So, yes, number four, with this eating health, eating junk food, beer belly, you know, dad strength type stuff, to the new, hitting the gym, eating clean, being lean, health conscious, yeah, all those. Number five, being loud and boisterous, you know, kind of the bull in the china shop. You see this on movies where it's just
as far as old masculinity.
Old masculinity is loud and boisterous versus being assertive or confident, not obnoxious, but assertive. This is a huge shift that you really see on movies of the man being. I like how you put it down, the bull in the china shop, where it's just like, man, he's in there with a loud laugh and he's telling funny jokes. Half the time they're drunk type of thing. Like you see this trope of a man who is really, really loud. I think is somebody from Boston, you know what I mean? Like that you see on the commercials. And I know, again, we're going off of tropes and everything, but there's it's a reality. There's a reality to this, that there was the loud and boisterousness. You don't really see that these days. You see a lot more of the quiet confidence. Don't draw attention to yourself. And I think this has risen with the alpha, beta, gamma, sigma, you know, of people trying to understand where they fit. Once again, that wasn't a thing for people back then, but everybody's trying to be that sigma type of thing, which is the lone wolf where you pull away to some degree, but you're also, you can engage and whatnot. So there's this quiet confidence. I don't know. It just shifted.
I think the contrast, again, you look at somebody nowadays, you just think that person's masculine. They're probably not being boisterous. They're probably not being obnoxious. They're probably not, you know, kind of making an idiot out of themselves because of how, again, loud they are. No, they're assertive. You know, they say something and you're like, wow, that's, man, they came out with it and they said what they meant. They are confident, but they're not obnoxious about it. It's kind of like, you see guys, like when they walk in a room, they kind of command the presence. They kind of command everybody's presence without having to say, hey, everybody, I'm here. Look at me. No, they don't have to do that.
Right.
Because their presence and the way they speak and the way they carry themselves just kind of carries with it an assertiveness and a confidence. That's what is now looked at as masculine, and I think correctly, as opposed to, again, yeah, to Joe's point, just the boisterous bull in a china shop guy that was kind of the trope and kind of the version of masculinity a couple decades ago.
Yeah, and where you get a lot of the attention. That seems like a good thing, but is it really the attention that you want?
And it probably covered up insecurity, most likely,
right?
For those type of guys. Yeah.
And so, yeah, the assertive, I think, is really important. Number six on our list for the old versus the new. The old, and I referenced this earlier, the old was a leader everywhere but home. It was important to really look good to others. So maybe you
did well at work and you became, you know, got elevated to a leadership position at work.
Even at church, you're a deacon, you're an elder at church thing. You know,
you didn't lead at home.
Correct. You bring it home and it's like, man, where's dad? Kind of absent, the absentee father, where, okay, maybe not physically, but emotionally, they weren't always present. And the reason why I say that is we've seen this a lot. You know, I've worked with this a lot of some older gentlemen that the kids, you know, I work with the kids and it's like, dad was a preacher, dad was an elder, dad was this, that. He was a titan of industry type of thing, and we never saw him. We never, or he, I mean, I've heard,
recliner,
yeah,
like all
I've
those
heard
stories,
of like abuse
yeah.
stories where the guy's a preacher, but he's abusing his kids at home. And we're talking not just physical, but sexual abuse and things like that, where there's just, they present one way to the world. And look, this happens even nowadays, I'm sure. So for those that are maybe the older folks that listen to this podcast may be like, well, that's not fair for the older folks. That happens in every generation. Yes, but it goes back to the same point I was making, which is this shallowness. It's a shell of masculinity, a shell of you know, what should be, of kind of like, well, we know what it should look like, but what is it really in actuality? It should look good to everyone, but what is it at home? And it's at home where you are truly vulnerable and where you are yourself. Do you come home and plop in the recliner and just kind of avoid everybody? Or do you lead at home as well?
Go to your shop and never see your kids.
Right, to your point of trying to find... I think this was last episode you were talking about, the 15 to 20 minutes where you really are trying to be intentional and playing with your kids. There's just a that's on your radar now. And I feel like the guys of old, that wasn't necessarily on their radar. If they play with the kids, great. I'm sure that happened with some dads. A lot of the dads, it was, you know, come home, kind of do your own thing. There was a separation from outside life and inside life.
So that new masculinity is you are a strong leader at home. Because this obviously applies to your spouse. I mean, Gen X and boomers, but leading to Gen X really was the generation where it's like the mom was the dominant figure in the home.
Yeah.
Whether or not she worked outside the home or not, because that was definitely started with the boomers and moved into Gen X. But like the mom was the one that was kind of driving all the action within the house. So even things that are productive, like the dad was just kind of, whatever you want to do, honey, let me work my 40 hours. I'm going to sit in the recliner. Like, that was very much several generations ago, and now it is, no, I'm going to lead my home. I'm going to, you know, not be a jerk, not be domineering, but I'm going to lead my home. I'm going to lead my kids. To your point, Joe, of I'm going to be able to carry on conversations with my kids. I'm going to be able to disciple them and lead them. People look at that so much more positively and fondly now. There's a point that somebody was making, a commentator sort of political, cultural commentator that I listen to a good bit, making the point that it's cool to see dads now that don't just want to have kids, they want to be a dad. And they drew a distinction there between, it's not just I want to have kids, no, I want to be a dad. Being a dad, there's a difference in I'm going to have a kid, I'm going to have kids, I'm going to be a dad. Being a dad is doing all those things with right. your kids, making sure you're dedicating time with them and showing them your childhood memories and asking them questions and not just tuning in. No, I mean, anybody can have kids.
Right.
It takes a lot more to actually be a dad to them. And so I thought that was a very interesting That's distinction to make of, I think a lot of older masculinity was like, I just want to have kids. I want to, you know, have kids. Now it's been cool to see there's a lot of guys that they want to be a dad and they want to do the things that dads do, throw ball with their kids and, you know, all those things that we've talked about a ton on this podcast. That is the biblical version of masculinity.
Talking about having mini-me's, you know, they're, yeah. fatherhood is the best. And getting
great.
To see the kid,
great.
They'll do some things that it's like, man, that reminds me of me and not
in
a
negative
way.
Way.
Yeah, not in a good way. But it's so cool to be able to shape the hearts and the minds of the next generation. It is incredible. Get us into the last one here.
The last one, yeah. Old Matt, and this one, maybe more than any of these other ones, was definitely emblematic of masculinity decades ago, which yeah. was you're never vulnerable. No weaknesses. If you have them, you're not going to tell anybody about them. You just present this invincible front, nothing is wrong. I never share my weaknesses. I never admit any time I might be wrong about something. None of that. You just project this front. New masculinity is, and I told Joe, we got to be careful here because new masculinity is not Mr. Sensitive guy who I just struggle just as much as you, right. like always shares his struggles. That's not what it is. It's I'm open with my weaknesses. I'm willing to admit that I'm wrong about something. But more than anything, I'm working to eliminate my weaknesses. It's not that I don't have any. It's that I know what they are. I'll happily tell you what they are, but I'm working to eliminate them.
Here's what I'm doing about it.
Right. That's the difference between the guys. It's like, I just have this struggle. It's like, what are you doing about it? Well, nothing. Previous generations, it once again was like, I don't want my kids to know I have weaknesses. I don't want my wife to. I'm not going to be vulnerable to my wife. My friends aren't going to know any of that stuff. Nowadays, it is cool to see it is turning towards, I'm going to be more open with the things that I struggle with. I'm going to be more open with weaknesses, but I'm also going to try to eliminate them. That's powerful.
My dad was given advice from an elder in the church, actually. Don't ever apologize to your kids. Shows weakness. Don't ever apologize.
Yep. That was the mentality.
Right. And it's like, what? And dad's like, yeah, but sometimes I'm wrong. You know, sometimes I feel the need to apologize. And no, it just shows weakness. You can't show weakness to your kids. They will exploit it. They will use it. Like, give me a break.
I'm going to guess that guy was older than 60.
How'd you know? Yeah. How'd you know? Yeah. Yes, indeed. And that is the old version of masculinity is weakness is always wrong. It's not weakness. It's vulnerability. And again, in that vulnerability, it's not just the
way I am. Yeah, I just got to deal with it.
Yeah. Right. Like, I understand this is a problem and I understand I want to work through it. And this is why so many guys are willing to sign up for things they never signed up for before. With marriage seminars, with how to get out of porn, all these courses online,
yeah.
with, you know, how to become a better father. Like you see people that are picking up books and that the self-help industry, especially among Christian authors and such, I think has exploded in the last several years because people are looking for how do I get better at my weaknesses. Yes, there's always been some level of understanding weaknesses, but again, it was never... Like, don't ever show them. Don't ever let people know that you're vulnerable because they'll exploit it. There is such a wounded nature to that. And that's where I wanted to end on this, Will, as we kind of wrap on this list, is like, what was the turning point? We know on a few of these, maybe the Me Too movement going back to the you know, tens. I don't know if that's the shifting point for the sleeping around versus not. I don't know if, you know, Dave Ramsey's the shifting point for making a ton of money versus financial freedom and stability or financial stability. What do you think really is the... I have my answer.
I have an answer.
Yeah, I'm curious.
I don't think there was one point.
Okay.
I think it was gradual, but I think what it was is the fruits became evident. We talk about this with...
Still my answer.
We talked about this with feminism in that feminism is starting to get a pretty bad rap among Gen Z. And I think the reason for that is it's been around long enough to where you're starting to see the fruits of it, and they're not good. They're not healthy. You got 45-year-old cat women. You've got you know, couples that have been divorced. We did the Kelsey Ballerini episode, that song where she's like, I want to be a mom now, even though 5 years ago I released a song about how I didn't want to have kids. Like Taylor Swift, like all these things, the fruits of feminism are not great. Similarly here, I think you're starting to see the fruits of not caring about your body, not caring about your health. Well, now you've got, you know, 45, 50, 55-year-olds that are really struggling with their health. You see the negative fruits of not really being a leader with your kids, relationship, parent and kid relationships are strained. You're seeing the fruits of not ever being vulnerable. You're seeing the fruits of sleeping around or whatever it is. They're not good. They're not positive. We live in a world now where, because of social media, maybe this is a benefit, is you can see more clearly the, as long as you kind of filter and decipher through all the maybe stuff that's fake online, you can see the fruits of living a healthy lifestyle, finding a good girl and settling down with her instead of sleeping around. You can see the fruits of actually truly leading and being a dad to your kid. You can see the fruits of entrepreneurship and financial stability. The fruits of the old version of masculinity, I think, are evident, and they are rotten.
It's rotten.
Yeah. So that was, again, I don't think it was like all one definite thing. I think it's been gradual, and I just think we've seen it. And I think also having these louder voices that are coming out, being more bold in their opposition toward the old masculinity, yeah, I think is helping.
It's a great answer. It's a great answer. My mind would be the exact same thing. You go back to, I've written on this, I've spoken on this, everybody gets sick of me talking about attachment, but you go back to what happened with boomers. From the silent generation, the greatest generation, to the boomers, and how the boomers completely shifted. You go back to Bob Dylan talking about the times they were changing. Like, things are you no longer have command or control over your kids. That was a boomer thing of just kind of reject the old way. And so much of this was because their parents are working in factories now. After the war, they're working in factories. And so they're one of the first, like, either latchkey or daycare generations where mom and dad aren't around. And so you find, I have to take care of myself all the way through. Well, what happens when you go to take care of yourself and you reject the old ways? You come up with stupid things like this, and you don't really know what masculinity looks like because the silent generation was silent. That's why it's, you know, I'm sorry, but they did not pass down their morals and their values to their kids. So the boomers are trying to figure it out on their own, and that's why so many of these things I think are hollowed out understandings of, like, yeah, it appears masculine, kind of, but it's hollow at the core because there's nothing there. Well, Gen X kind of buys into this. Gen X takes a lot more of the money. A lot of Gen Xers I know are workaholics. They take more of the money because it feels like, well, mom and dad wanted money. That seemed important to them. And so I think they go after it. Millennials try to turn things back. Millennials are disaster. My generation, they're a disaster in a lot of ways because they were trying to right the wrongs of the old guard, so to speak. And they did it in an even more
horrible relationship with their parents.
Correct. Poor relationship, poor attachment, yet again. It's Gen Z that's really bearing the weight, and Gen Alpha too are kind of bearing the weight of all of these things. Yeah. So to your point, we're four generations with Gen Z. We're four generations into understanding this stuff sucks. I'm sorry. Yeah. It's not good.
It doesn't work.
It doesn't work. The fruits are horrible. The feminism, the happy wife, happy life, all the things we discuss on this podcast, they're broken. Yeah. We have to do something new. And so, yeah, they're trying to find what's new. Well, it's not new for the sake of new. Millennials tried that. Millennials decided, well, we're going to, you know, have our own identity in our own ways. We're going to do gentle parenting. We're going to do all the stupid stuff that doesn't work either. And so Gen Z is the one that honestly kind of seems to be looking back to, what about the ancestors? There's a lot more discussing the 1800s, the 1700s, and thinking
the
about
last
what
name
did people
and legacy.
Correct. Yeah. They're thinking about that more than anybody, is what it seems like to me. That's important. You know, that's really important that we connect with our again, ancestors, great-great-grandparents type of thing. What did they do? The old remedies are coming back. The last names and moving to the homestead, moving to places where your family has a name. That's what we did down in Tennessee. Is I have a lot of roots that run deep in Tennessee for 100-plus years all the way back. So it's really important that we connect with those roots. That's a new thing. So I think the new is shifting because you're right, Will. It just stopped working. Yeah. The fruits, it never was working, but we're finally able to see four generations now. Like, we are toast. We got to do something different. If you got thoughts on this, obviously we'd love to hear them because we're passionate about this. And I think new masculinity has an opportunity to really, I think it's on the rise, and I think it has an opportunity to really right some wrongs here.
Great way to wrap. I mean, I would just say, do all these things, avoid vices, find one really good girl and settle down with her, eat really well, be financially stable, all the things we talk about. That's the new. Be assertive and confident. Don't be obnoxious. Be a strong leader at home and be open about your weaknesses, but then work to eliminate them. So that's what makes a man masculine. Yep. And so yeah, we'll wrap right there, Joe. Appreciate your thoughts, your kind of closing thoughts on that. This has been episode 167. We'll be back next week with another great episode. Thank you for listening. As always, like, comment, subscribe, all those things on Spotify, YouTube. Join our Discord as well. Link is in the description of the episode. We'll be back next week for episode 168 of the Golly Woman Podcast. Thank you so much for watching and listening.